Hello everyone, and welcome to the video on pathogen treatment. When we're looking at a stool test like the GI map, there are three main categories of treatment. To keep this big picture and simple, you can think about pathogen or infection as one of those three categories of treatment. That's going to be any kind of a pathogen that's a bacterial pathogen or a parasite or a worm infection, even the overgrown and or dysbiotic bacteria and potential autoimmune triggers would fall into this pathogen slash infection category, where we're generally going to apply an antimicrobial approach. The second category would be dysbiosis on the normal flora side. If the normal flora is low, then we want to bring bacteria back up, and we're actually, rather than an antimicrobial approach, we're doing a probiotic and a prebiotic kind of a focus on building the colonies of healthful bacteria up. Now, if we do pathogen treatment, then post-pathogen treatment, we will want to rebuild the microbiome because we are doing an antimicrobial approach. But if there is no pathogen and there are low, let's say, Bifidobacter or Lactobacillus or Akkermansia, something that we really want to see in the intestines and it's low, then we may be just doing a probiotic, prebiotic, gut-building kind of treatment. So our treatments really are the pathogen, the gut building, and then the functional GI markers. These are going to be our digestive fluids if there's not enough pancreatic enzymes, or if there's a beta-glucuronidase elevation or low secretory IgA. These are more functional gut, functional intestinal markers that are going to be repleting things like digestive fluids, like digestive enzymes, and or working to improve the gut function, for example, with secretory IgA. So our three main treatments are going to be an antimicrobial approach for pathogens and or infections slash overgrowth. And then our second category is a gut building category for low normal flora. And our third category are functional intestinal markers. So if you think about treatment in one of those three areas, or two of those three areas, or all three of those areas, and you analyze a test like the GI map in a way of thinking, okay, are we doing pathogens, infections, overgrowth? If so, the treatment for all of those is going to be pretty similar, and we'll talk through that in this section here. And then know that if you see undergrowth, that's a different thing, of the healthful bacteria, and that's treated differently. But you may need to do both. And then thirdly, functional GI issues are going to be their own treatment as well. So three main treatment categories here. The first that we're covering here is the pathogen treatment. So for the pathogen slash infection slash overgrowth treatment, we typically like to use herbal medicine because we get a wide variety of pathogens. We can have antimicrobial herbs that can be antibacterial and antifungal at the same time. And we know, for example, that with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, there's often a concurrent fungal overgrowth at the same time. And if there's not a bacterial overgrowth in the small intestine, there can be a fungal overgrowth. In the days of thinking that yeast is only present in the guts of immunocompromised individuals is old news. We know immunocompetent individuals can have fungal overgrowth in the small intestine and or the large intestine. The SIBO treatment we gave you already can be used as a general treatment that will cover most pathogens. For practices that are wishing to standardize care, That's going to be a great treatment that'll cover most bases. And we're going to review our general gut treatment here in this lesson as well. And then we'll expand into, if you do want to personalize it, what's the research say about specific individual infections that we see and or pathogens that we see on the GI map. For practices that want to use labs to make protocols unique, we're going to give protocols for some of the most common microorganisms that we see here, so you can customize and individualize based on the individual presentation of symptoms, the pathogen that comes up on the lab. And you can often find things that will be good for a person because, let's say, there's a H. pylori and you want to use N-acetylcysteine for biofilm for that, but the person also has some toxin issue and you know that NAC is a precursor to glutathione and it can help toxin. And then the person also has a functional kidney issue where their glomerular filtration rate's a little low, and then you can know that NAC is also going to help reduce kidney inflammation. And then you're kind of getting three things with one supplement. And that's really the art of individualized care if you go down that road. So we'll start with the general pathogen protocol. You can basically take this protocol and use it for all things gut infection. You can use it for SIBO, you can use it for SIFO, you can use it for parasites, for worms, for H. pylori. You can use it for just about any gut pathogen that you're going to find, any overgrowth that you're going to find, for potential autoimmune triggers like Klebsiella, etc. You're going to see that an oil of oregano product together with a berberine product together with a spore-based probiotic is a fantastic general gut protocol that's going to take care of most gut imbalance on the overgrowth infection slash pathogen side of things. Not always, not every case, but in many, many cases, oil of oregano, berberine, and a spore-based probiotic in combination together will often take care of any of those gut pathogen infection overgrowth issues. Optionally, adding one or more of the following can be helpful, so especially if a person is focused primarily on gut, that's the big reason they're in the office, then you may want to add some additional things into the mix. Andrographis, neem, and or multi-antimicrobial herbal, aside from berberine. So sometimes there are antimicrobial blends, and those blends can be helpful in some cases. So you can take a blend like Biocidin, or you can take neem or neem plus, or you can take a formulation that includes andrographis like Virographis, Bizymogen, and these can be helpful additions for gut issues. Monolaurin, such as lauricidin, is one great supplement option, although if you're using a place like primarily Zymogen or even Fullscript, lauricidin is not, as of this recording time, available through those sources, so it would be a separate company. But they do have a little white pellets and a scooper, and it's a therapeutic dose where you can give, usually I give 3 scoopers per day, 1.5 twice a day, or 1 3 times per day for lauricidin, and that can be antibacterial, antifungal, and also antibiofilm. Artemisia wormwood, or artemisinin, which is a potent extract of an active constituent from within Artemisia. However, use caution with straight artemisinin with liver enzymes, can sometimes elevate when taking it for a small percent of individuals, but enough to be aware of and monitor if you're using it for very long. Usually for artemisinin, we'll go 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 1 week on, and then off in order to minimize chances for liver enzyme issues. Artemisia is the whole herb and has some artemisinin plus some other constituents and compounds, particularly effective for parasites. Allicin or garlic extract is particularly effective for methane-type SIBO and also probably many kinds of fungal issues respond well to garlic extract, and especially high-potency allicin extracts are very, very helpful for gut issues. It also can, of course, have some impact positively on cholesterol as well as blood pressure. Especially if someone is a little elevated on cholesterol or blood pressure, then Alamed or another high-potency allicin garlic extract may be helpful. Saccharomyces boulardii is a healthful yeast that can crowd out pathogenic yeast. It's particularly helpful with Clostridium difficile toxins and with chronic diarrhea. But it's also very compatible and works quite well with SIBO, with SIFO, and a variety of different kinds of gut infections. People love S. boulardii and do really, really well. Skin issues can improve. Many things can improve with Saccharomyces boulardii as an addition. Lactobacillus and or Bifidobacterium multi-strain probiotics are helpful in many cases. Occasionally, someone with a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth can negatively react to a multi-strain probiotic, so use caution in those cases, but most people, even in that category, respond positively to lacto-bifido multi-strain probiotics, especially if using a quality one. Sometimes it's helpful to use a single strain like Lactobacillus plantarum, or to use just a few strains that contain high dose of certain ones like the Bifidobacterium lactis HN019 if you're targeting motility. So there are cases for specific, but generally a multi-strain that has many different strains is appropriate and helpful in many cases. Immunoglobulin products can be very helpful. Serum bovine immunoglobulin like Mega IgG 2000 or by Microbiome Labs or SBI Protect by Orthomolecular. Colostrum like the colostrum that Zymogen carries, believe it's IgG 2000, very good. Egg-based IgY colostrum like the Probiomax IG 26 Plus is a great one that is also a different kind of immunoglobulin. So any immunoglobulin-based product can be very helpful for gut issues. And sometimes non-responsive gut issues that haven't responded initially to antimicrobial therapy may respond to an immunoglobulin product, so it's worth considering and having it in the mix. And then NAC or N-acetylcysteine for biofilm. There are other biofilm disruptors. There are enzyme products, and there are products that contain bismuth and products that contain things like black seed oil that are used for biofilm. A lot of them are good, and NAC is just simple, easy, inexpensive. So it's one of the choice biofilm products that double purposes as a precursor to glutathione and helps with kidney inflammation as well. So here's a Zymogen treatment option for general gut issues. So if you're using Zymogen, you can use Probiomax SBDF, which is a lacto-bifido and Saccharomyces boulardii blend, at 2 caps once per day at bedtime. With candecidyl, which is an oil of oregano formula, 2 caps twice daily with meals, virographis and andrographis-based formula, 2 caps twice daily with meals, and Probiomax IG26DF, a spore-based probiotic that also contains some immunoglobulin in it, at 2 caps twice per day with meals. If there's biofilm, you could add N-acetylcysteine. If there's Clostridium difficile, you could add extra Saccharomyces boulardii by adding Saccharomyces DF. Away from food is ideal, but with is okay as well. For constipation, Colonex 2 at bedtime. For diarrhea, Saccharomyces DF 1 at bedtime. For hypochlorhydria, Gastracid, which is some stomach acid supplement, 1 twice per day with meals, or 3 times per day with meals. It can either be with the two biggest meals of the day, or it can be with every meal. For digestive enzyme, Zymozyme at 1 twice per day can be very effective and helpful. The treatment option 2 for Zymogen is when they get the berbamycin back in stock, because as of this recording, they are not in stock with berbamycin. But once they have it back in, then we really like a berberine formula in the mix. So here we have our berberine formula, oil of oregano formula, and spore-based probiotic. We've added an andrographis formula into this base protocol at a small dose of 1 cap twice per day. You could eliminate that if someone's on a budget. Berbamycin, 4 caps twice per day. Candecidyl, 2 caps twice per day. And virographis, 1 cap twice per day. And Probiomax IG26, that is not only a spore-based probiotic, but also has immunoglobulin, at 2 caps twice per day with meals. Then the same modifications for biofilm, C. diff, constipation, diarrhea, hypochlorhydria, or digestive enzymes, you have some modifications. So once they get berberine back in stock, the berbamycin, then this would be the preferred protocol if using Zymogen. If using Fullscript, using Intestable by Seroyal or Genestra, or ADP by Biotics, which is an emulsified product, or oil of oregano by Protocol for Life Balance, which is an enteric-coated oil of oregano, at about 2 to 3 caps twice per day with meals. Intestable is by far the best choice for an oil of oregano product if there is H. pylori and you're trying to have activity in the stomach, because it is not emulsified and it's not enteric-coated, and you would not want emulsified or enteric-coated in that use case with H. pylori, because you want it to have activity in the stomach. And Intestable was developed originally for H. pylori, so it's a very good one to use if you suspect H. pylori is part of the picture. It's also very good if H. pylori is not part of the picture. It works well for SIBO, for SIFO, for parasites, etc. However, ADP being emulsified and the oil of oregano by Protocol for Life Balance being enteric-coated may be able to have that oil of oregano get a little deeper into the small intestine and or large intestine if you're suspecting that there's distal issues with SIBO in the distal portion of the small intestine and or parasites in the large intestine. I have seen Intestable to work quite well for those issues, so I don't think that it's not getting there, but I do theoretically get the reason why people would want to trial something that's emulsified or enteric coated for getting a little deeper. So clinically, I haven't seen a ton of difference, but do know that in theory, you may get more distal activity, but less proximal activity with the ADP and or the enteric coated oil of oregano by Protocol for Life Balance. If someone's on a budget, the Protocol for Life Balance is going to be the obvious choice because of the price point. If they're not, then one of the others can be very effective. And they're all, the Intestable is a mix and it has some clove oil and artemisia oil. I believe some ginger oil in it as well. So it's a mix of oils. The Protocol for Life Balance has mostly oil of oregano, but a smidge of ginger oil and one other in it. And then there's Intestinol, which I didn't put in here, but Intestin-OL by Orthomolecular is another great option that has some thyme oil in it, which has research specifically for eliminating Klebsiella biofilm. So if you did a GI map and you saw Klebsiella elevation, then Intestinol might be a good fit in that case. Then glucose management with berberine HCl by Protocol for Life Balance is a great berberine product. You can also use berberine complex by Integrative Therapeutics. And there are several berberine products by different companies. So if you pick a berberine product, this one, the glucose management, has berberine with MCT oil in it. 3 caps twice per day with meals is a good dose there. And then Megaspore Biotic by Microbiome Labs, 2 caps once per day with meals. You could use the HU58 in place of that if you wanted. And that is antimicrobial in its approach. And then you could switch to Megaspore Biotic in the repair phase when you're trying to rebuild bacteria and increase quorum sensing. So know that the HU58 is another option for this GI treatment section. For biofilm, N-acetylcysteine, 1,000 milligrams, 2 caps twice per day would be a great addition. Away from meals is optimal for biofilm. For C. diff, Saccharomyces boulardii plus MOS by Jarrow is a good one. You can use another brand of Saccharomyces boulardii, and I like Protocol for Life Balance, but their Saccharomyces boulardii does have fructooligosaccharides, and people with SIBO do sometimes have that exacerbate or make worse their situation. So that's why I typically use the Jarrow brand, but Protocol for Life Balance can be good. Just know that occasionally someone may have a reaction to the FOS in there, and it may not be to the Saccharomyces boulardii. MOS has less reactivity to it, typically. About 15 billion twice per day would be the dose. That's 3 caps for the Jarrow brand. Other brands may be different. Some have 3 billion, some have 5 billion. For constipation, Ideal Bowel Support by Jarrow is Lactobacillus plantarum, which has very limited data, but a little bit showing that it may be helpful with methane and constipation. For diarrhea, Saccharomyces boulardii is also just generally a good idea to trial. 2 caps twice per day with meals or away from meals. Either way is fine for Saccharomyces boulardii. Away might be slightly better, but I don't get too picky about that because I want people to just get it in one way or another. For enzymes, HCL and bile, you can use a combo product like Enzymes HCL by Protocol for Life Balance or Digestzymes by Designs for Health, 1 to 2 per meal. And that has a mix of digestive enzymes of various sorts, plus stomach acid, plus bile, all together in one supplement. So this is a nice general digestive fluids replacement product that can be very helpful for digestive issues. For parasites, you can look at artemisinin by Allergy Research Group. And if you use artemisinin, 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 1 week on. Or for parasites, you can use artemisia by Allergy Research Group, 3 caps twice per day with meals. Both are effective. They're a little different. Artemisinin is that concentrated standardized extract, but artemisia is the full spectrum of the herb. So you have to have a personal philosophy and tune into which you're more called to or drawn to use. Both are effective. For protozoa, N-acetylcysteine, about 1,000 milligrams, 2 caps twice per day, so 1,000 milligrams per tab, about 2,000 twice per day, is helpful on protozoal infections like Blastocystis hominis, for example. Also for protozoa, Saccharomyces boulardii plus MOS by Jarrow or another brand is really helpful to have at least 10 billion units twice per day. For hypochlorhydria, betaine and pepsin by Orthomolecular is a good option there. We talked about in the Zymogen section, gastracid by Zymogen is a similar comparable product. To reduce die-off and repair intestinal permeability, MEG-IGG 2000 by Microbiome Labs or SBI Protect Caps by Orthomolecular. There's also SBI Protect Powder, but people tend to be a little more compliant with caps for most cases, unless there's a reason why the person does better with powders. 2 caps twice per day on those. Clostridium difficile strategies. So C. diff, obviously if there's C. diff and it's significant, someone should be getting immediate antibiotics. But we do know that Saccharomyces boulardii at high doses can help with toxins. So while someone's on antibiotics, Saccharomyces boulardii can be very helpful. And if it's a more minor thing where someone isn't having severe diarrhea that's life-threatening, then Saccharomyces boulardii in high doses, together with a few other compounds that we're going to show you have some research, like oil of oregano has some research with toxins, spore-based probiotics have a little bit of research, berberine. So you can trial a protocol like this in a more minor case, but no, Clostridium difficile can be a serious infection, in some cases life-threatening, and antibiotics right away. And if it's multiple antibiotic resistant, then fecal microbiota transplant or FMT are your best treatment options here. You can, though, combine those treatment options with these complementary options that we're going to go over in this section. FDA approval has been granted for fecal microbiota transplant in the case of multiple non-reactive antibiotic-resistant Clostridium difficile. So, C. diff treatment: Saccharomyces DF by Zymogen, or Saccharomyces boulardii plus MOS by Jarrow, or Saccharomyces boulardii by Protocol for Life Balance. 3 caps twice per day, up to 6 caps twice per day in severe cases. Away from meals is preferable, but it can be with in order to get people complying if that's easier for them. Candecidal by Zymogen or Intestable by Pharmex Genestra or oil of oregano by Protocol for Life Balance. 2 to 3 caps twice daily as an oil of oregano product. Megaspore Biotic, 2 caps once a day, or the HU58 or Probiomax IG26DF. The Probiomax IG26DF could be 2 caps twice per day, can go a little bigger in its dose since it's mixed with immunoglobulin. Berbamycin by Zymogen or glucose management with berberine HCl by Protocol for Life Balance or berberine complex by Integrative Therapeutics, 4 caps twice per day with meals. Fecal microbiota transplant if unresponsive to other treatment. S. boulardii can help with the virulence factors, toxins A and B. Generally, we do need antibiotics or fecal transplant to treat the actual infection in most cases. Treatment time for these complementary is about 8 weeks. Brewer's yeast also shows positive results, but typically contains gluten and we don't often use it. So here's some of the research as basis for our recommendations. So we see carvacrol and transcinnamaldehyde reduce Clostridium difficile toxin production and cytotoxicity in vitro. Unfortunately, this isn't a clinical trial. It's an in vitro study, so we can't take it as highly as we would take a clinical trial. But we do see that antitoxigenic concentrations of carvacrol did not inhibit growth of the beneficial gut bacteria. So we do find that it's both antitoxin for C. diff, but not anti-healthful bacteria, which can be a problem. And C. diff infection can get worse when healthful gut bacteria go down, which is why we see it post antibiotics frequently. So we do want to implement approaches that aren't going to disrupt or inhibit the growth of beneficial bacteria, and carvacrol did not, which is contained in oil of oregano. Berberine blocks the relapse of Clostridium difficile infection in C57BL6 mice after standard vancomycin treatment. So berberine administration was able to significantly promote the restoration of intestinal microbiota by inhibiting expansion of members of the family Enterobacteriaceae and countering the side effects of vancomycin treatment. So although this was a mouse model, combining berberine together with an antibiotic treatment like vancomycin may be helpful in C. diff to restore the healthful microbiome afterwards and to reduce side effects during treatment. Probiotics are effective at preventing C. diff-associated diarrhea. Systematic review and meta-analysis. So this, we do have very high level of data. The meta-analysis and systematic review are going to be our highest level of data, and it's a comprehensive review of the randomized controlled trials. 26 randomized controlled trials involving 7,957 patients were analyzed. Probiotic use significantly reduced the risk of developing Clostridium difficile-associated diarrhea by 60.5%. Probiotics proved beneficial in both adults and children, especially among hospitalized patients. Lactobacillus, Saccharomyces, and a mixture of probiotics were all beneficial in reducing the risk for developing Clostridium difficile-associated diarrhea. So this study is very strong in its evidence for probiotics, and that includes Saccharomyces as well as Lactobacillus species. Probiotics for prevention of C. diff infection. Probiotic use may reduce incident Clostridium difficile infection in high-risk populations by as much as 50%. Bacillus clausii, which is one of the spore-based probiotics, and that spore-based probiotic is in it's in the Probiomax IG 26, and it's in also the Megaspore Biotic. And then Lactobacillus reuteri secrete compounds that directly inhibit C. difficile. And the Lactobacillus reuteri is in Claire's probiotic symbiotic. We'll talk about that particular one more in the H. pylori section, because Lactobacillus reuteri also has some interesting studies around H. pylori. So for C. diff, spore-based probiotics and Lactobacillus and Saccharomyces all are effective. Here's a study about Saccharomyces boulardii, and this was mice were presented with S. boulardii and challenged with Clostridium difficile, and the mucosal surface was almost normal. Cellular surface was not affected, and both bacteria and yeast were visible. In the colon, same features were observed in each group, but to a lesser degree. The mucus of colons were taken from dying C. diff control mice, had lesions, and the bacteria were easily detectable. In S. boulardii protected mice, the colon was normal, and both bacteria and yeast were visible. So S. boulardii can help prevent C. diff infection, even if exposed to C. diff in a mouse model, at least. So it really seems apparent to me that S. boulardii would be a fantastic choice for while someone is on an antibiotic to help prevent C. diff post-antibiotic. This is about brewer's yeast, and again, we don't generally use or recommend brewer's yeast, but I wanted to show you the study since we did see that there was a study, and this showed that 20% of people with C. diff, even despite treatment with vancomycin or metronidazole, will relapse, and looked at Saccharomyces cerevisiae, brewer's yeast, on three patients who had failed to respond to conventional treatment. And the one of them, diarrhea settled within 3 days, remained well 8 weeks later. So it did have some positive effect. Another one had diarrhea settled from after vancomycin, but it relapsed 13 days later and then resolved after 10 days of metronidazole, but then recurred after 14 days. That's when he took the 14-day trial of brewer's yeast and the diarrhea settled, and then he remained well 8 weeks later. I still recommend Saccharomyces boulardii versus brewer's yeast, but know that brewer's yeast does have a little bit of data, at least one case study here.